fired, my boss had been very clear about the rules. See nothing, say nothing, hear nothing. The man had actually pointed to one of those silly monkey sculptures on his desk to reinforce what he was saying. Judging by the criminal clientele in the building, what my boss had really meant to convey was, see no evil, say no evil, hear no evil. Literally. It was why this job paid twice as much as similar positions everywhere else. Crime paid. They paid for discretion, for blind silence. My job as part of the overnight crew wasn't just to clean. It was to keep my head down and my mouth shut. Usually that wasn't a problem. Until that moment. Not knowing what to do, I'd squeaked out a weak, thank you, before turning on my knees to shove the fistfuls of paper I was still clutching into my trash bag so I could get the hell out of there. I'd realized my mistake when the silence in the room was pierced by the sharp intake of breath through his teeth. There wasn't a doubt in my mind he was enjoying the view of my bent-over ass in yoga pants. I closed my eyes as embarrassed agony warmed my cheeks. Scrambling to my feet, I latched onto my cleaning cart and lowered my head, determined to slip past him. No such luck. He'd stretched his arm across the door, barring my escape. Then his free hand had caught my chin, forcing my face up to meet his.
What is your name, little one?
The thick Russian accent had made his question sound more like the growl of a black bear, despite the highly inappropriate endearment. His touch had burned against my skin, unwanted heat spreading through me even as fear tightened within me. I'd swallowed hard as my hands grew slick against the plastic handle of my cart. Clearing my throat, I told him, Mary? A lie. Before he could respond, I'd shoved the cart forward and ducked under his arm, breaking the spell of his touch. The cleaning cart clattered as I'd sprinted down the hall, praying with every fiber of my being that he wouldn't follow. That had happened weeks ago, and just the memory of it still rattled me to my core. Ever since then, I'd been excruciatingly careful to make sure our paths did not cross again. And it had worked. Until now. I rubbed my knuckles against my sternum to fight the panic threatening to take hold. Although it was a risk, I leaned my head forward and hazarded a peek down the marble corridor. Several men surrounded a man tied to a chair. The man was blubbering.
He'll kill me if I tell you.
I strained to hear Pavel's response over the rush of blood in my ears.
Why do I keep hearing those words? Every time I bring in some asshole working for Solovyov, I always hear, oh, but he'll kill me if I tell you. Motherfucker, I'm going to kill you anyway. The only thing you get to decide is how much I'm going to make you suffer first.
Kill him anyway? Oh God, this was so fucking bad. The men weren't even trying to speak in lowered voices. They assumed they weren't being watched, or worse, they didn't care. Either way, I was in serious danger just by standing here. I was a witness. Anyone who watched crime shows knew the only good witness was a dead witness. My vision blurred and I teetered against the doorframe, lightheaded from my rapid breathing. I needed to get the hell out of here. I was far down the hallway in the shadows, but that didn't mean I was safe from detection. Just then, Pavel's head swung sharply in my direction. My blood froze in my veins. His expression was unreadable, his face cut from ice as his stare penetrated the darkness between us, seeming to claim me even from this distance. Oh shit, could he see me? Only after he turned his attention back to the man in the chair did I dare to breathe again. Pavel shoved his boot between the man's legs, then leaned over his bent knee as he flicked open a switchblade.
Tell us where Solovyov is, and I will give you a clean death. Don't, and I call the man who haunts your fucking nightmares, and I tell him about